Right now we got Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library here in the studio to talk books. Susan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. And before we get started talking books, we should mention not so much talking books, but moving books
moving
all over the
books.
Place, right?
Yes. Big
dun, dun,
change
dun.
Is afoot.
Ooh.
The book moving, well, we've started moving some books. The big book moving starts next week. But
okay.
Today, a crew came in at 7 a.m. and they took apart the giant circle desk. So that big main circle desk.
Oh, like right in the middle?
Yes, and it's now three little mini service points that are spread throughout the main floor.
Wow.
So it freed up a ton of space that we can use for other things, and it also puts people out on the floor. So you don't have to hoof it all the way back to that desk to get help. There's little smaller service points throughout
the
floor.
So people are sort of all over the place that they can
that staff is on the floor. They might engage with you when you're trying to find a book in the stacks, and then they walk you over to a service point and check out your book, or you might have a more involved question, and the service points are more kind of landing pads than
So there's not like this one catch-all place, just a whole bunch of other places around.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what are you going to do with the space that got freed up when you took the
Put books in it.
Oh, awesome.
Like move the books around.
I didn't even have to ask that
question. It's just, it's going to be
awesome. We're going to put books in it.
Well, we're like to the point where we're having almost daily meetings about what's going to happen when and the logistics. Not that I can do any of that. I've got great staff that are managing that. But it's mind-boggling. I think today's task list, there's like 56 items that will happen between now and the end of next week.
Wow. And this is all part of this like large process of shifting books sort of all over the place in the library. So what was the impetus for that in the first place?
The whole project is about improving the user experience at the library. And this is one of the big pieces of that. So if you've been in our stacks now, personally, when I go into our fiction stacks, I kind of feel dumb. I'm like, wait a minute, A and then B, and then wait a minute, here's F, and I turned a corner. So our stacks are kind of choppy.
Gotcha.
And they're hard to maneuver.
Navigate, yeah.
So once we get this work done, it's going to be much more easier to navigate. There's going to be better sight lines, better signage. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be crazy for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then it's going to be amazing.
And in those 2 weeks, people who have books checked out. Just keep them. You don't
hang
have to return
on to them.
Yeah. I like
They're
that.
On us.
All right. I love that. Okay. So how harried is the staff right now making all of this happen?
Fine.
You're fine. All right.
We're
great.
Fine.
In that case, I've got a list of tasks.
Right. And so several parts of the building aren't really touched. So the downstairs is operating as normal.
Yep.
The children's room, the teen room, most of the main reading room. So it's that central area that we're maneuvering everything.
All right.
In order to make it better for everyone.
And this started today
when the desk came apart.
Nice.
And then next week we got these stack movers things. I don't know if I told you about them.
No.
So you got it. So we
Let
will
the
take
record
plenty
show
of video.
That Susan has her hands like extended,
the full
wingspan, as if to indicate it's like a huge thing or
it
a
is
box.
A huge thing.
Yes.
So just picture in your mind.
Picturing it.
Harken your mind. No, that's harken back. Travel with me
well,
in
now
your
I'm,
mind.
Now I'm to, now I'm hearkening. It's too late. I'm lost.
So next week, what will happen is this crew, and we've hired out a crew to do this. We are running this from Durham, which owns one.
Okay.
It's this thing, and you clamp one end on one or on one. Hang on. You clamp one end of a stack of a whole range full of books. Like, think about a whole
is this about
stack
to be an FCC
range.
Violation?
No, a whole stack range full of books.
All right.
Normally, if we didn't have a stack mover, we would take all the books off, take all the shelves apart, move them to where they need to be, rebuild the shelves, put all the books back on it.
Yes.
No. With a stack mover, we clamp this thing, we jack it up, it's on wheels, and we can move entire ranges of stacks on wheels with the books on them.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay, so that saves time.
It saves a ton of time, and it's just cool. So we will be have areas blocked off, but you'll be able to see it, and we'll take some video, and it's going to be awesome.
I'm picturing just like a giant wheelie dolly.
It's got these clamps, and then these teeth kind of thread through so the books don't fall off.
Okay.
It's awesome.
I was wondering about that, because if like on the giant wheelie dolly, you just tip the thing the wrong way, then the drawers fall down and everything spills, but we've got that covered.
And I have worked in libraries for over 20 years. I've moved 4 different libraries. I've never used one of these things, so I'm fascinated.
Yeah. So wait a minute. You've moved four libraries before? Was that like taking the shelves down and moving them and the
all
whole
kinds of different
process?
Ways.
Oh, God.
Sometimes we did the thing where you put the books on a cart and then you like saran wrap the whole cart. That's kind of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. Every library move is different. Everyone is different. Yeah.
Imagine the library staff getting really punchy and like wrapping each other up with a saran wrap.
That wouldn't happen. We're all staid and storied and calm.
Yeah.
And prim and proper. No, we're not.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
All right. So that's going on. And that's going to be done when? A couple of weeks-ish?
So things really, the books start moving next Monday or Tuesday, and we think it's going to take about 10 days.
Okay.
Give or take a couple. So I would say count on 2 weeks.
So like end of the month?
Yes.
It'll be pretty much all done? All right. Well,
something like that.
Godspeed for the next 2 weeks.
Right? Yes. And we do have volunteers that we need. So there's a call for volunteers out on our website. If you get our email, you can also call. But we need some volunteers to all they will be doing is taking books off the shelves and putting some books on the shelves.
Okay. Sounds good. So head to the website for that.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So we're talking books this week, as always. And what's our topic?
Well, I suggested it was all about me. I just returned from a trip to D.C., so why not use that as
that
our
rhymed
prompt?
There.
Or because you didn't offer anything, Aaron.
I didn't. Well, I was on the air and you emailed, and it's like, what about D.C.? And it's like, that's fine. I got D.C. stuff. I don't
I
have that much D.C. stuff.
I was hoping you were going to say, what a capital idea. But you didn't.
No,
it was
no.
a softball.
It really was. Well, there was this story about a new dean of the dentistry school yesterday.
We could have had dentistry as our topic.
During the 6 o'clock hour, I might have just like told the story in pun form with like 10 puns in a row. Like it's an interim director that's bridging the gap between one and the other, and it's going to cap off his career.
Oh.
It's not a temporary.
I'm glad
filling,
I didn't hear that.
Filling. So I've exhausted my.
I gotcha.
My pun allotment for the week, so I can't do any more. I can, actually. No one's going to stop me. So we're talking
about
D.C.
We're talking about
Washington, D.C., because you have been...
I took the family trip.
Very nice.
I did the... My kids are 8 and 11,
oh,
and they're
perfect.
At the right age.
Yes.
And
what did you do?
We did it all. We did all the things. We did air and space. We did natural history. We did American history.
Nice.
We did all the monuments.
Okay.
We did some. We did the National Archives.
Nice.
We did the Library of Congress, which I had never been to.
Okay.
It was
that's
like,
cool.
You know, going to Mecca or something.
Right, right.
We did all the things.
Nice.
It was great.
Did you do the Capitol building in the White House? Or didn't
we did, well, not tours, but we like walked
around.
Around
okay.
them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are cool.
Yeah. Yep. It was great.
I don't know what the U.S. Capitol is like right now, because I did an internship in D.C. in 2000. So this was before the surveillance age where you could just sort of walk into buildings like that and you went through like the metal detector or whatever.
Oh, you get checked everywhere.
Yeah.
Every museum, they check your bag. You go through a scanner.
But like back in 2000, I remember you couldn't do this at the White House, obviously, but the Capitol building, you could kind of just walk right on in if you wanted to. I don't know what it's like now, but it's kind of,
we did the Capitol,
go to like the lobby area.
Yeah, they were closed. They had it closed off, but it was also, it was National Police Week up there, so they had all of these ceremonies, and it could have been closed off for some other reason.
Okay.
What I like, every place checks you when you go in. The only place that checks you on the way out, the Library of Congress.
The Library of Congress, to make sure you're not taking any books out. Yes.
Yeah.
My favorite part about the like Capitol Hill is there's a subway system that's just for Capitol Hill. Do you know this?
No, there's not.
There is.
Stop
it. It's like these cute little trains that go from like the House and Senate buildings that are on either side of the Capitol building. Like you go down to the because I'd had an internship with the Congress office back in 2000. You go down to the basement, you can hop on one of these cute little trains and it takes you into the Capitol building and back. And it just
That's
shuttles
adorable.
People to and from the House and Senate buildings. But it's like the most adorable tiny little cute subway system. In the world, and it's just so that the members of Congress and the senators and their congressional aides and staff don't have to go to the trouble of walking across the street to get to Congress. Well, a lot of them are 103 years old, so that makes a difference. All right, so D.C.
Right. So the first thing that I wanted to recommend to folks, if you're going to do D.C. with kids. Is to check out our kids section and get some awesome travel books. So this really made the trip. We got a book. I actually currently still have it checked out, so you can't get it if you're planning a trip to
D.C. Yeah, and not
for
another 2 weeks.
Right.
She's hanging on to this as long as humanly possible.
I'm not moving it.
No.
I'm not bringing it back. It's called, I believe, A Kid's Guide to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those stories where books are also still relevant. So we started planning the trip, and I got on the web, and it's like, you know, 3 days in D.C. with kids, five, you know, what to do in D.C., and that was great. But the kids didn't want to sit there and read all that because that was written for parents. So right. I looked in our kids section. I got a kid's guide to D.C., which is written for kids. So yes. Kids get super psyched. Each museum or monument has an entry. It's got some cool quiz things. Nice. And then we got another book, and the name of it just, I just lost it, but it's basically...
Moby Dick.
No, stop okay. it. It's like a kids, it's like a kids scavenger hunt for D.C.
Oh, nice.
So each like place go you go, it's got like
cool
hidden things.
All right,
like, you
I like
know,
that.
Like notice the fourth gargoyle on this building yeah, is an yeah. eagle and you can check it off.
Oh,
it was
that's
really,
awesome.
Really
I love that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And there's even more. So if you're doing a D.C. trip with kids, search our catalog on Washington, D.C., limit it to the children's room and you will find all kinds of stuff to get your kids totally pumped about it.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
What's your next recommendation?
Is that? Are you asking me because you don't have one?
I have
Aaron?
One. So
okay,
I
I'm gonna
it.
Go. To,
I was
I'll
trying
just
to like. I was thinking
going.
Of like, what about monuments and what about buildings? And I've got one that's really cool that I'm actually in the process of reading right now. But
you
I
want to
let you have. Okay. I want to let you have two because I have a feeling you've got more than
I do.
Than, yeah,
I do. So
this is gonna be. This is gonna
I
be
was
your
gonna
show.
Use my time to pull this one back up on
okay.
the thing, but I forgot. I'll just wing it. So,
all right. Well, do you want time to pull?
No,
to
I got pull? It.
Okay,
I'll just
you got
talk
it. Okay,
I'll
cool.
just,
you,
right. I'll just go. I'll just do
all right,
it.
That's fine.
I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. You should
I
be
had
afraid.
That problem one time.
So one of our favorite museums that we went to was the Smithsonian National Museum of American History.
History, okay.
So as a kid, we did air and space and natural history, but I don't recall this one, and it's awesome.
Yes.
Have
American
you been?
History Museum. Is that the one with all of the memorabilia
cars?
From like Dorothy's ruby slippers and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they have
that
been there. Yep.
Okay.
So my
That's
younger
really
kid
cool
is
place.
Really into cars, and
okay.
the whole half of the bottom floor is like America on the Move,
yes.
a history of transportation.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And up top, they have an exhibit about the American presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through, like, all of the different facets of the president as a political leader, as a military
okay.
leader, as all of these things. And
right.
it's really, really good. My kids were morbidly fascinated by the whole section on presidents that have been assassinated.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So you come out of that, and then they have on display the actual hat that Abe Lincoln was wearing
really?
When he was shot.
Oh, wow.
This stovepipe, stovetop stovepipe. It's not that huge.
Yeah. But you're currently extending your arms
it's
about
like,
as far as you extended
like
them for
elbow,
the thing that moves the shelves around.
It's like as
this
tall
stovepipe
as your
hat that you
right,
can use to move giant
shelves.
Shove
all the books
yeah.
in it. It's like, I would say, it's like from my elbow to my, like, hand,
right.
like the forearm.
Which is a pretty big hat.
It didn't look that big.
You
it was
could,
under glass.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
So there was a lot of stuff, obviously, about Lincoln. And so then I came back and I was like, you know what? I want to read more about Lincoln.
Okay.
So I found Ooh. A book that I've always, that I feel like I should have read.
Uh-huh.
That is now going back on my list,
okay.
which is Gore Vidal's Lincoln book,
okay.
which is like apparently one of the best things ever written in the history of the written word. And then I found another one that's about, it's called, I think, Young Lincoln, but it's a novelization of Abe Lincoln
Young
as
Mr.
a youngster.
Lincoln?
It's
Is
something
that the,
like that.
Yeah.
It sounds great. So I was
yeah.
like, oh, I should read about his younger
his
years
youth.
Too. And then I found the one book about Lincoln that I have read, which was Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, yes, of course.
The point there being, if you go on to our catalog and search Lincoln, and you can limit it to fiction
right.
or nonfiction, there's so much written about him.
Oh, there's...
And
yeah,
I've got to go
there
read
is a ton.
Something other than Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I've got Team of Rivals by Doris
mm-hmm.
Kearns Goodwin sitting on my shelf. Like, this is one of the next books that I'm going to read is going to be this one.
I've never
I have
read
to.
That book.
It's a huge
People
book.
People love it.
It's like 800 pages
yes.
long, though. The movie, the Lincoln movie that Steven Spielberg did was apparently based on Team
was
of
that?
Rivals, which
oh,
was from
okay,
a couple of years
right.
ago, which I didn't like.
I didn't
was
see
really
the movie.
Disappointed that I didn't like it. But
who played Lincoln?
Daniel Day-Lewis. He was great,
oh, yeah.
but... Like, it started with some, like, he was on the battlefield, and there was some guy who, like, comes up to him, and he's all starry-eyed, and then he, like, quotes the entire Gettysburg Address to him. Like, okay, I think I'm, okay, that's a little much. But,
right.
And then the rest of the movie, I was disappointed, but I'm in the minority. It's got nominated for
Oscars. I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to pass judgment. Should I keep talking? Do you have one?
No, I got one. I got one. So, speaking of Lincoln, did you guys, if your kids were fascinated by assassinations, did you go to Force Theater? They've got the whole exhibit there, and they've got the house across the street
Okay. Mary Surratt's boarding house and all that.
One of my great DC memories when I was there in the spring of 2000 was I'm just walking down the street and someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, kid," which, you know. This is going to be – they're going to be asking me for money or something like that. It's like, I've got a ticket to Marcel Marceau, the mime, who's passed away a long time ago, but was still alive and performing in 2000, was at Ford's Theater. And at the time, and I was actually kind of disappointed because it was expensive and I was an intern, couldn't go. But this guy like walks up to me and says, "Hey, I just walked out of after the first act, it's intermission and I have to be somewhere. Right. Would you like my ticket?" And I said, "Sure." And he gives me.
Did you mime that or did you actually say the words?
I think he would have walked away if I'd tried to mime it, which is what happened with Marcel Marceau. He came out and started miming something. This guy walked away, but he gives me his ticket. And like I walked in and sure enough, it's a real ticket. So I walked in and sat down and for free got to see like the greatest mime of all time perform at Ford's Theater.
Are there other mimes? Famous
yes,
mimes?
Yes.
Are there other great mimes that he makes them the greatest?
Commedia dell'arte, Pierrot, those people who performed. If you've ever seen the film Children of Paradise, it's all about it's great.
Yes.
Anyway. But the other great institution is the Supreme Court, which we haven't mentioned
yes.
yet. And I am currently reading, like right now, I'm halfway through, but it's a great book called Gideon's Trumpet by Anthony Lewis, which is it's written in the 60s. It's about Gideon v. Wainwright, which is the case from the early 60s about whether poor people have the right to have a lawyer appointed for them if they can't afford one, which they do. It's, you know, it's in the Constitution. But up until the 1960s, that right had not been guaranteed. So this is a famous Supreme Court case, early 1960s. The person who tried the case or the person who was Gideon's attorney wound up being on the Supreme Court later. So a lot of high profile people involved. And it's just a really fascinating case about book about the law and the Supreme Court mm-hmm. and how it works and how a case gets to the Supreme Court and the avenues that they have open for people who just have absolutely nothing, like no attorney, no legal background. They can petition the Supreme Court if they want to. There's
a
process.
Cool.
It's such a great book. And like every sentence is just some new detail about how the Supreme Court works. Like
What's it called?
Gideon's Trumpet.
Gideon's Trumpet.
Because it's Clarence Gideon is the poor guy who was arrested for like breaking and entering. It was just like this petty crime, but he was tried and convicted.
Did he have a trumpet with him, or was he stealing a trumpet?
No, it's a biblical reference.
Oh,
I don't know.
Of course.
I don't know what they would have called it if it hadn't been a.
That was just comedy.
Gideon, but yeah.
So that actually makes me think of best souvenir of the trip. Now,
is it a trumpet?
No. I dropped a lot of money personally at the Library of Congress gift shop.
Ooh, did you buy your own congressman?
For a low, low price.
At the gift shop.
No,
I think you can do that.
That book that you just talked about,
yeah.
My older boy at the National Archives gift shop,
uh-huh.
We both walk in at the same time and we see this item and I'm just like, there's no question. I'm just getting it because
yes.
He's going to ask me for it because it's totally him. It's a T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And it is the Bill of Rights.
Right.
done, illustrated as emojis.
Oh.
So each, like, all over, I mean, it's it's this really loud kind of tacky shirt, but it's
big
awesome.
Time. Yeah.
And it's emojis, so it's got things like right to bear arms.
Right. I'm just closing my eyes and picturing the right to bear arms emoji, which is.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. So
love
that was
it.
Clearly the best souvenir.
All right, cool.
Yeah. My last one, and I may have recommended this before, but they're super great. If you like mysteries and things set in specific locales.
I think I remember this.
Margaret Truman, Harry Truman's daughter, was a mystery writer. And her series were murder at the Smithsonian, murder at the Supreme Court, murder at 1600. She wrote a gazillion and four of them. And they're each set at a different D.C. landmark. And
nice.
They're just easy reads. They aren't going to change your mind or change your life or blow your mind, but they're super fun, good mysteries by Margaret Truman.
Cool.
That's awesome. All I got.
All right. I exhausted my allotment with Gideon's Trumpet, so I'm done. Cool. So check out all of those books and more. You can do it at the Chapel Hill Public Library, even though they're moving books around. They're still open and available.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Check out everything and then keep it for a little extra
time. You got it.
All right. Sounds good. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
See ya.